They even watch the Silly Fox TV movie. It's GRD's Weekly.
Yes, it is.
And welcome.
No. Wow. Really? Still? We've been trying to start the show for like, what, 2 hours? No, okay, that's...
Oh, come on.
That's a bit of an exaggeration.
Of an exaggeration.
Well, you know, exaggerations are fun. So, hi, welcome. It's GRD's Weekly episode, anyone? 88.
There you go. I was like 80-something, yes.
There you go. Snowman. Double Infinity.
Double Infinity.
Whatever you want to call it, where you like to have it. Gathered around the table tonight. Well, looky here. Jet's here.
Hello. You brought me to the slums.
No.
What?
I didn't bring you to the slums. That's cruel.
Was that Amy Pond?
Yeah, we're in the middle of nowhere. Well, but not the slums.
No, not the slums. So saith the Flintstress.
I am not.
Really? Because you were just giggling all the hell just a moment ago.
Still
and
is.
How are you doing? I'm Billy Flynn.
Do you mind flirting outside?
I was just saying hello.
For you, that's flirting.
Okay, well, that would be I guess that's kind of true. So welcome. We've gathered around once again, putting the S back in Sweekly. So we got to get to it right away. What have you been doing geekified?
Tons of stuff since it's been a couple of weeks. I've got a whole bunch of new electronics. Doesn't get much geekier than that. Yay, I finally got my new cell phone.
Woo!
Well, you know, it's a smartphone. It's the incredible HTC Droid Incredible, Verizon's answer, if you will, to the iPhone. And I really like it. It's still taking me a little while to get used to just because it's, you know, different and everything. But I can get to everything, Facebook and Twitter and texting and online. And it's fast and it's cute. And I just love it. And I'm really enjoying it very much. So that's my first piece of new technology.
You had to put cute in
there. I love that she said Facebook first.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, nobody else's phone goes to... My non-Droid phone certainly doesn't go to Facebook all the time.
It's, mine either.
No. Got to have one of those special ones. Yes.
Y'all better not be teaming up on me to give me crap about this, but that's okay. No, but I love my phone, and it's really fun, and I like it. And I also got a new computer.
Ooh,
yeah.
Look at there.
Well, nice. I bought the phone, like ordered it like a month or so ago, and had to really like ream somebody at Verizon before they finally got their act together and got me a phone. And I got my computer. I got a new laptop. Ooh, as a going back to school present, because I just started going back to school.
Wow, look at that.
To get my master's degree. Ooh. I'm doing University of Phoenix. And it was too much to have all of my work stuff and all my personal stuff all on my work computer, which I'm like so not supposed to do anyway.
Right.
So I'm finally starting to categorize my life a little bit better. And I got a new Windows 7, you know, laptop. I don't know what else. It's got the i3 core. It's pretty slick.
Will you just say that it's got your silly little volume next
it's
to
got
the...
on the, like right here on the top, it's got this whoop, and I turn the volume up and whoop, and I turn it down. It's like touch sensitive.
Touch bar.
I don't know. They've had those for a while, but I think it's just pretty cool. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah. The rest of us are still trying to deal with the fact that we have to have our work stuff and our personal stuff on one computer that's ours and have to deal with it. But no, we're very happy for you.
Yep.
We're very
and it also
happy
has this button
you.
That
my
you can touch.
Done by buttons.
And you can
know,
accidentally
right?
turn on and off the wireless. And the other day I had touched it, or the other day, I've had it for 3 days. Yesterday I touched it and I didn't realize that I had, and I turned the wireless off. So I'm going through like all the troubleshooting, the diagnostics, and I got out the paper. And then they were like, check to make sure you didn't accidentally hit that button. I was like,
you
it's
know,
not even a button. It's just a little thing. And I had turned off the
no,
wireless.
No, it's a button. The thing is that I found a lot of this lately in my geeky week with talking to folks is that again and again, I try to stress that I don't care what you're using. Generally, a red light is an indicator of something bad.
True.
It means something's not working. So yeah, when your internet's not working, if you look for the red light, that might tell you.
Well, I've never had a computer before where you could turn that on and off. And I guess the advantage is that it saves the battery.
It saves the battery a ton.
Okay. So when you're not trying to get on the internet, you just go ahead and turn it off. But I've never really had that function before.
I might, right?
And I'm always on the internet.
Exactly.
So.
And now that you've got the phone that does Facebook, you're not even going to worry about that
ever again.
I know.
I should put some sort of cover, those little like some pop thing over it so I can't even accidentally press it and turn it off. We'll see.
Black electrical tape?
Well, except I don't know if that would affect it. I don't know. Something. I need to do something.
It would make it not quite as cute.
That's
so
true.
There's that.
It is cute. My laptop is cute, too.
So I thought I heard about that.
It's not pink or anything. It's just black, but it's cute.
Okay.
It's got little swirlies on the design.
Look what I can make with my Spirograph.
It does kind of look like that. We rewatched the A-Team. Because my brother wanted to see it and he hadn't seen it yet, and it was just as fun the second time around, if not more fun, when you kind of know the jokes are coming.
It's
definitely fun.
It's the most entertaining film of the summer.
It is. Highly. At least so far. Definitely. So I mentioned school. You know, I've been going back to school. I started my master's with the University of Phoenix. And it's pretty good, but it's kind of a lot of work. Like, really kind of a lot of work.
Is it?
A master's.
And, you know, I'm fine with it now because I don't really have, like, a whole lot of anything else going on. So I'm finding that I'm easily able to meet all these challenges. When my life is really, really crazy busy, I'm like, how in the world am I going to fit this in? So I don't know. We'll see. I've already scheduled a couple of breaks throughout the year. Like, the... like when school first starts, like school that I teach first starts, I'm going to take a couple weeks off. And then like in the spring, I'll take a couple weeks off. But still, it's just kind of like, it's going to be a lot. And yes, Billy Flynn will be my role model since he fits University of Phoenix stuff in around his ridiculously busy schedule. So I'm sure that he can help me find time management strategies. Mm-hmm. You like that?
It's going to require less HDTV. I've played far fewer video games. I'm saying.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. See?
Yep. Sacrifices.
Well, I'll just have to come up with lesson plans for my students to do that are totally independent so I can do my own homework at the same time. No? That's probably not best practice. No. I've also been playing roller derby, and last night at roller derby, I paid for our, we have this special insurance that you have to get before you can start doing contact drills. So starting a week from yesterday is when we're going to start actually contact drills, actual hitting. So it's going to be really fun. And it's not hitting like punching or elbowing. It's just, you know, like shoulder bumping and hip bumping, but you can't do any of that until you have the special supplemental insurance. Yeah. Well, it's really, really fun though.
You have to realize that the people that you're going to be practicing with are going to be less tough on you than the ones that you're going to be actually playing against.
That's so true.
You're going to have to.
That's true. Especially at first because we're in this group of like
they're gonna come at
newbies. Yeah. So it'll be a while before I'll be in any kind of real competition. So I'll have lots and lots of practice against people. And it's just I'm still slow at skating, but I'm getting better. I'm getting better with like the moves and the tricks and all of that stuff. I just need to get my endurance up. But it's been pretty fun. All the girls are so fun and badass too. I mean, it's just like, you know, empowering. I feel like I need more tattoos, but it's awesome.
Empowering.
Yes. Okay. They make me feel powerful. Empowering. Huh. Yes.
Like Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Over the 4th of July weekend, happy belated Independence Day, people out there. But we went to this really fun tiki-themed party. And it was outdoor, and there was a pool, and there was all kinds of, you know, adult beverages and swimming
one
in the pool.
One or two.
Yeah. It was really, really fun. I put up some pictures on Facebook, but that was just a really good time. Got to see a whole bunch of people like from home that I don't get to see that often. So, and some good geeks. They played some geeky music. Boba the Fett.
Yep.
My backpack's got jets or something. There's this really funny song.
It's a rapper or something.
Yeah, it's like MC Chris. I think that's who it is. Yeah, so that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
And
MCP pants.
Yeah, from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because I sold it.
Binnenbush Gardens, which is arguably one of the geekier amusement parks because it's, you know, got the whole Europe theme and you sort of get a little tiny taste
welcome
of the culture as you go around.
You're geeky.
I think you could, you know, learning, I don't know, roller coasters, tech, you know, it was geeky. I don't know. It was really fun. Apollo's Chariot is still the best roller coaster. If you haven't been.
Fantastic.
But the new one, Griffin, is actually pretty fun. It's just too short. It, you know, it's quick and it's over. No one wanted to say that's what she said?
Nope, not this time.
It just doesn't last long enough for you.
You've asked me to not do quite as many of the obvious ones, which takes away most of the ones I do. So
that one would have been a pretty obvious one. But no, it was really a good fun time. And except my dad wanted to go. He was the catalyst. And then he was sick. He had like bronchitis or a sinus infection or something. No, and then he totally still went.
Oh.
He drove all the way down here, didn't tell us he was sick until he got here.
He'd been sick like a week or so before he even asked us.
Yeah.
So go figure that.
Maybe he thought he'd be better by then.
It was like 100 degrees, and he's dragging his ass around Busch Gardens. I'm like, Dad, we didn't have to come. You could just go sit in the shade or whatever. But they had this like quick pass, quick queue thing where you can pay extra and go to like the front of the line. Except you don't really get to go all the way to the front of the line for every ride. You know when they get to the part where they're like lining you up in the rows? You got to go to that part of the line, except for the... You know,
rapids.
The rapids, whatever it is when you're in the big circular boat and you spin
around.
The
rapids. The particular one at Busch Gardens is the Roman rapids.
Thank you.
It's the European themed
one.
Thank you.
The Roman
rapids.
Well, for that one, you got to skip all the way to the front. And that one had a long line because it was like 100 degrees outside. And this line is long. And the people are shooting us the dirtiest looks because we're just skipping the entire line. We literally went right up to the front. And they were like, there you go. Get on your boat. And we were just like, yeah, that's right. VIP treatment.
That's what you pay money for.
Exactly.
If they wanted to get in the front, they should have paid extra too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep. Also watched The Italian Job.
There you go.
You know, when my dad was here, he had never seen that. That was funny. And then like 2 days later, it was on TV. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's a fun, cute little heist movie. TV. We finally finished The Big Bang Theory.
There you go.
Well, caught up to The Big Bang Theory. We're not finished since more episodes have yet to
be. We're as complete as anyone else can possibly be.
Yeah, but so. That final episode where they have... what is her name who played Blossom?
Blossom.
Okay. As the perfect girl for Sheldon. I'm like, well, that's kind of creepy. It's kind of like, be careful what you wish for, because she really is so perfect for him. But two Sheldons, I don't know about that. I cannot wait to see how the next season goes. Mm-hmm. Other movies we went to see, and I'm sorry, I can't remember if we talked about this already, but I don't think we did.
No, we did not.
Toy Story 3 finally, Night and Day.
Toy Story 3 we finally broke down to see in 3D, which, other than the opening sequence throwing stuff at you, is really just to watch a moving diorama. So if you feel like paying extra money to watch a moving diorama, by all means do it.
I was going to ask if it was worth it.
It's one of those, again, where they're not throwing things at you. And I think I'm appreciating that more about 3D, is that there's not all of this throwing stuff at you so much as like sequences. You get the depth of what's going on there. Far better, I think, than a traditional 2D film can, simply because, well, it looks like a freaking moving diorama. Mm-hmm. So saw it. It's a perfect end to the franchise. I don't ever want to see another Toy Story movie.
Yeah, I cried a lot.
You will totally cry, and it's funny, and it's sad.
And I'm a sap. I cry at everything. But even, you know, the most cold-hearted bee is going to cry at this movie.
There, you know, there's all kinds of wonderful little shout-outs to the series as a whole, and it's one of the most terrifying movies I've ever seen. Because the concentration camp stuff that people are talking about, I'm sorry, I don't see how you cannot see that. It is so blatantly obvious. The villain of the movie is a big southern teddy bear. Hello? I mean, for the love of God, how much clearer do they have to make it? You know, subjugation and chains and cages. I mean,
it was actually pretty scary. Like, I mean, you know, they talk about these animated movies, and this was really not for kids. Kind of like Up. Like, they're talking about Up,
the big controversy there. Up is nothing compared to the nightmares and horrors that people will suffer from this film. From the clown, not the clown, from the monkey.
Yeah.
From the monkey. And I don't want to give anything away for anybody, but let's just say there's a moment near the end where you will sit there with your jaw agape as all of our main characters hold hands. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my effing God, you've got to be... Oh, dear God, wake me up.
There were plenty of kids in the audience, too. And I guess they get it on like a different level, and they don't really see kind of the adult themes or whatever. But it mm-hmm. was... Wow.
Maybe they just don't understand the saying goodbye to your childhood stuff that's in there. Maybe it just really hits home because, you know, we're old people. No. That movie's terrifying. It's great. It's wonderful. Wow. But it's terrifying. It's easily one of the scariest films I've seen in the last 5 years. Easily.
In the last 5 years? Wow.
Easily. That's horrific. There are horrific things happen there. And even though you know they're going to be okay,
For a minute, you kind of think maybe they won't.
Maybe they won't, you kind of think there. But like, you know, in the second one, they're doing all kinds of weird, crazy stuff, but it's this over-the-top, you know, it's an exaggerated moment of it. The stuff they go through in this is, these are very real emotions they're tapping into, which makes it a much more powerful film, which... leads the terror, and I've never liked those damn monkeys anyway.
You know, the interesting thing is going to be, you know, 20 years from now is, you know, a kid that saw this movie and then watches it again as an adult, and the difference in there in what they get out of it. You know, if they ever did that as a study.
We'll be back in 20 years for that
I'm
special.
Already planning to do a study.
A project for one of your children.
You will watch it now. You will come
and
back.
You will take notes about your feelings, and then
I will keep it locked up in this drawer
in a time capsule. And then in 20 years,
now watch it again. Now write your feelings. Now let's match and see how they did.
And then that same day, we also went to see Night and Day, that Cameron Diaz, Tom mm-hmm. Cruise movie. And I was disappointed. I don't know that I guess I thought it was just going to be fun, but it wasn't going to be bad. But it wasn't really very good. Cameron Diaz was pretty good in it, but Tom Cruise is not very good.
It's another one of these, and I know this is just going to sound pompous as hell, and I'm sorry. But there are times when I wish I wasn't right. But I have a pretty good sense about things. And I saw the trailer and I'm like, and it is. It's a, there's moments to this movie that do kind of work. There's just not enough of them, unfortunately. The whole concept of this, we know this, you know, Cameron Diaz is just some regular woman. And, oh, she bumps into Tom Cruise, who is apparently a super spy or a psychotic gunman. Who knows? Ah! Except we start the movie with Tom Cruise in the airport hanging around waiting for Cameron Diaz to show up. As the audience, we are Cameron Diaz for this movie. We should be experiencing her life and then bump into him, not the other way around. The plane sequence itself is fantastic. It's wonderful. It moves well. It plays well. But there's no chemistry between our leads whatsoever. There is an incredibly funny, inappropriate moment where Cameron Diaz says that her dad wants boys, and I had to bite my tongue to keep from going. So do I, because Tom Cruise had a very weird look on his face at the moment. No, it's disappointing. It is what it is, because this is the kind of movie that in the 80s you would have seen, like Tom Cruise, you know, Bruce Willis would have done a version of this. If it very much feels like an old 80s movie, a star, you know, this is a movie star attached to it, 80s style action adventure romp, and it's no Romancing the Stone, which is what it really wants to be, and
it wanted to be a cross between like Romancing the Stone and like The Bourne Identity, somewhere in between there with a comedic flair, but it wasn't that at all.
It does not always work. It works sometimes, but it doesn't always work.
To watch the trailer is enough.
Yep,
you get. I would say you saw the best stuff in the trailer.
That's what some of those happen to be.
Yeah, unfortunately, because I think, what did I give it, like 4.5 or 5, I think is what I gave it.
I think so. Yeah, something down there.
Something down there.
Books. Last thing on my list, I think, is books. I've ordered and got my copy of Ancestor by Scott Sigler. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I've got that in my stack of to-read stuff. Ugh, I'm still working my way through like the Balticon stuff. But speaking of the Balticon stuff, I finished Chasing the Bard and started Digital Magic. If possible, and I can't believe I'm saying this, I actually think I like Digital Magic even more than I liked Chasing the Bard. So I'm just really, really enjoying that. That's kind of my new hooked on book right now.
Welcome to Hooked on Books.
Hooked on Books. Books are like crack, people. So that's definitely my
wow.
But not as expensive and not as harmful for your health.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
And a book, apparently. Okay. Yeah, so that's what I've been reading. And if I'm looking at my list, I think I may have hit everything.
Okay.
We played a little of a video game on the computer, but should I save that for later?
No, you probably talk about it.
Okay.
Here, you think?
Well,
unless you wanted to.
I mean, it's Doctor Who related, but we played a video game on the computer.
The first of the BBC Doctor Who computer game releases. We're about halfway through the Dalek invasion. Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and it's a fun little puzzle game. You have to like time it so the Daleks don't see you and you're sneaking around, and you have to go up to different panels and do things. You have to find different pieces of items and put them together to combine them. So it's a fun little game.
Well, you know, it's still like Doctor Who. It's designed, it's more of a kid's thing. There's some, you know, to go around and get your special achievements, you're going to learn some historical facts while getting just a rousing, it's a fun little adventure. It could have easily been filmed and just been there, but it's been fun.
Yeah, and it's the actual voice actor, so that's always lends something to it as well.
That's cool.
It is in the chronology for this season. So
okay.
So they went all the way for it.
And that is, I believe, my geeky week.
All right, Joe, what you got over there with your low-tech book?
No, I didn't write in my low-tech book.
Oh, my God.
That's why I have my laptop here. For TV, I'm up to date on Hell's Kitchen.
I like that show.
Mm-hmm. I always like it when he screams.
Did he yell at somebody in the last one?
He always yells at somebody. At least one person.
No, see,
but they usually deserve it.
They do. It's usually something raw, like if you eat it, it could kill you.
But see, why would I want to watch that one and not the one, what is it, where he goes around and helps people fix up their restaurant so he can yell
at
them?
That would be Kitchen Nightmares.
There you go. Why?
That's actually the one that I like. That's the one that I like, yeah.
My boyfriend and I watch that too.
Okay.
We're good. We like that too. And he's starting a new one, and I've forgotten what it is, Kitchen Masters or something like that.
Kitchen Bastards.
Bastards.
With Gordon Ramsay.
Not good enough.
out.
working through my way through True Blood. I'm still stuck in season one. I'm only maybe 6 episodes in, if that.
Really?
That's one that we need to get back on.
Okay. We got like what, 4 episodes into season 2?
Yeah.
I just got to a point where I was like, okay. It's good enough. It's. This pisses me off a little. I'm sorry. Pisses me off a little that vampires are all the flippin' rage now. Because, damn it, now is when we could have our Vampire the Masquerade show, since they are already the best parts of True Blood are the stuff that they have ripped directly from Vampire the Masquerade and not the books they're written that they're based on. I know that they're based on books, but just go with me. I miss the fact that, you know, we had to deal with that C. Thomas Howell version on Fox back in 94, 95, and now would be a great time for it. And It's a fun, True Blood is a fun white trash soap opera about vampires.
Yeah.
It's that, but I don't, it's a vampire show. I'm more fascinated with all the stuff that goes on behind this. I could care less about Suke. I don't really care. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy the fact that Anna Paquin is topless a lot in it. Sure. But I am much more interested in the society, the world itself, seeing how that world became a hybrid world of human and vampires living together would be much more interesting, I think, than what I'm watching.
Yeah. And we got a lot more of that in season one than we have so far in season two. I don't know.
In the very short amounts of season two.
Right. But you're right. I'm interested in the hierarchy. I'm interested in the chain of command and the politics.
Because it looks quite a bit like Vampire the Masquerade, and I like that. So how's Sookie doing, by the way?
Like I said, it's been a while since I've...
All right, right. I already know, because I've already seen what you've seen.
Yeah, and you've seen it all. Anyway, so... moving on, I completed the Chobits anime series. Do you know Chobits?
I know of its existence.
I don't. What's Chobits?
Chobits is set in the future where computers now take human form. And usually they have these, they look like they've got headsets on and wires come out and they do computer stuff. So they can walk with you and some of them are tiny. They can sit on your shoulder.
Oh, cute.
Cute. I want one.
That's why you got to get the angel and demon one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What should I do?
It would be great.
So, and there's a big storyline about the main character finds one in the garbage and he's got to figure out where she's from and why she's working without having an operating system and things like that.
No! Questions that face us all.
I've started the cartoon Avatar The Last Airbender.
Okay. Had you ever seen any of them before?
I have not.
Okay.
I knew of it.
Right.
And I'd been interested, but had never thought to go find and watch.
You're enjoying it so far?
Yeah. No, I like it.
I know
it.
You got all choked up there just thinking about it.
It's just that good.
Apparently. I'm about 6 episodes in. And, no, I really like it. The characters are entertaining.
So you're going to go rush out and see the movie?
I have read very, very, very bad things about this movie.
I think, I forget where it was, but someone started theirs off, M. Night Shyamalan. Okay, this time you've pissed me off.
Wow. Yeah.
I was with you,
It's bad.
Okay, well. What are you going to do?
So I might get it on Netflix.
There you go.
And in order to be of a better contribution to the show, I have gotten through 8 episodes of the current season for Doctor Who.
Wow, look at you.
I busted my butt last night and today to watch as
you
many
watched
as I
8
could.
Episodes since last night?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, that's okay. Commitment, okay. Right there.
I started at like 5:30 last night.
Wow. Okay. Well, I can't wait to hear how that goes later. Dun, dun, dun.
I took notes.
Oh, okay. Right here, baby. Steel trap. That's right.
That's done for TV stuff. I saw the Can't Stop the Serenity show.
Cool.
I talked about going there
right.
The last time. So I've been, and it was fun. They were supposed to have a special showing of a fanfic-type Serenity-related show.
Okay.
But the theater and the group miscommunicated, so that didn't happen.
Sorry, folks. We only have the Serenity stuff.
Yeah, it was still the show, so it was okay. And it was also my first, it's not really geeky, but for some it could be, my first solo Amtrak train trip and
wow.
My first Metro trips. So
I like trains. Trains are fun. Trains can be geeky.
I like watching people try to buy their Metro card for the first time because that's usually a fun experience.
I did okay because I've watched other people do it. So
did it take you more than 10 minutes?
No.
Then you did fantastic for a first time person.
It can really, really stump some people.
It really.
Because I knew exactly where I needed to go.
It's not at all user friendly.
On average, in a week in Northern Virginia, how often did you buy a card for somebody because it was just easier than trying to show them how to do it? At least two or three times a week.
I'll push the buttons, you put it in the money. Go.
I knew exactly where I needed to go, cool. And I know how to read instructions.
You would think that that's all you would need. You would think that, but apparently you also have that superhuman power that not many people possess, which is the ability to put all that together.
Oh.
And comprehend. Yeah.
That's the important stuff.
So that was that, and I got a little crafty. I create things from fabric and string and whatever. So I hand sewed a drawstring backpack gym bag.
Ooh.
From scratch by hand.
Nice.
I said hand sewed.
Anyway, did you bring it?
No, I didn't.
No, because, you know, it's not a video.
Well, just because they can't see doesn't mean I can't see.
I do have a picture I can show you later. I've been rereading and will be rewatching the Harry Potter series in preparation for the Deathly Hallows season or first release in November. And did you know that their teaser poster was released yesterday?
I do.
I haven't seen it yet. Is it nice?
Oh my god!
It's already better than the last movie was.
Chilly. You get chills looking at it.
Ooh. Now, I purposefully don't go back and read the stuff right beforehand.
Really?
Because the one time that I did that, it was probably Azkaban. Mm-hmm. And I spent too much of the movie going, oh, they left this part out, or oh, this part is different. You know, and so I'm definitely going to work my way through the entire series again. Mm-hmm. But I think that I'm just going to go with my basic memory of what I sort of kind of remember happening in the story. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I do that for...
That'll do the movies.
I do reread, and then we'll watch a book and a film together. Just not to tear it down or pick it apart, but to just compare. And it's something that I enjoy. And it gives you a lot to talk about when you're out with people.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting around with a bunch of Harry Potter fans. And you're like, did you
know? Are you going to dress up when you go to the movie?
I don't know.
That's a yes.
I think we should. I'll go with you. Yeah, we should all go dressed. We have outfits and stuff, too. Oh, we went as Harry Potter and Hermione for Halloween one year, so we could sort of modify.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I did
Mine
see
was a little
that.
Bit slutty, so I don't know that it's like movie theater appropriate, but I think I could modify it to make it work.
You can borrow my cloak.
Yeah. That would work, yeah. Yeah. Or just even like a white shirt with it.
I have a long black
She was
cloak.
Even, she was there that night.
Yes, I was.
Oh, yeah.
So there,
well, I was telling the rest of the people who weren't there that night.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember my costume, though.
Really? It was an awesome one.
Wasn't I Trixie?
Yeah, Trixie.
You were Trixie.
Mm-hmm. My boyfriend was Speed Racer.
Yes, yes, indeed.
I had to dye his gloves yellow.
Well, yeah.
Such a pain.
Your boyfriend or the gloves? Oh, thank you.
Tip your waiter. Like, try
dyeing,
the wheel.
Dyeing white gloves yellow is a pain.
I can imagine.
I think the dye would take better, but it doesn't.
Mm.
Anyway.
Didn't know how to follow that up. I'm sorry.
I've been buying Japanese fashion magazines from a website called J-List, and that's just me being geeky about, I'm a huge Japanophile. If you know anything about me, I'm really big into Japanese stuff.
Is Japanophile the official name?
Yes.
Okay.
I've discovered the best shopping site for Japanese stuff besides J-List.
And Japan? It's
called Rakuten.
Aha, okay. I know
no,
that.
Of course getting on a plane and going to Japan would be better. Come yeah. on.
You said besides the site, and I'm like, well.
Well, to go overseas and actually shop there would be fantastic, but I will never get to do that unless I win like the lottery or get $1 million yearly pay or something like that. But the only problem with Rakuten is that it's terribly difficult to understand the English translation. They do have translation for the website, but it's so messed up.
Sometimes words just don't translate.
No, they don't.
And that's why. No, don't get me started on books. No.
Don't do that.
No.
But anyway, that's me being geeky about Japanese stuff.
That's cool.
I bought a cotton kimono from them. It's called a yukata.
Thank you for finishing that sentence. Thank you.
And it's really nice. And it was a little tricky to understand the whole checkout process. But it got through. So
just put in all your credit card numbers and we will charge one of them eventually.
Yes.
For thousands of dollars.
No.
So you've ordered it, but you haven't gotten it yet?
No, I did.
Oh, okay.
I was really surprised by how quick, because I don't know how to tie the OB yet.
I can show you that.
You really know how to do that? You are a master of many talents.
And, you know, well, I think I know a lot about, I know a little about a lot of things, is how I should say.
See, I think you'd be skilled at getting someone out of, you know, women's clothes. Getting
I'm really, really good at that, too. Well, you've got to know how to get in to get out. So it's that simple.
Giggity? I don't know. Yeah. The ladies?
I'm not the one. No. Hi.
Hi.
You were saying before she so rudely took us on that weird...
No, I'm stuck now. I don't know where to go from there.
Okay. Well, was that it then?
No, not well, quite then, yet. I have okay. a few more things.
Well, there you go to the next one. That's easy.
I've been writing for the Nerd Signal still.
Yes!
And the editor has started me with a weekly column, and I got to choose a title, and it's called Short-Term Virtual Memory.
Oh, okay.
I thought
okay.
that was like that. Cool. And I can't take credit for that. That's from my boyfriend.
Oh, you can take credit for it. Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead. Take credit for it. It's
okay,
fine.
It's mine.
There you go.
So I've been doing a couple of columns for that. Just things that I like to write about that are geeky.
Cool.
And my biggest project right now is I'm trying to think of a way to figure out the worst movies from the recent years. Aside from, you know, places like Roger Ebert's worst list.
You could look for Nicolas Cage in them.
Just keyword search Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. And I've
put Tom Cruise in there a couple
collected
of times.
The lowest ranked films from Rotten Tomatoes. But that's difficult because the list fluctuates. Mm-hmm. And you know, other lists on websites you can do searches for are just one or two people's opinions, and that's not always what the majority is gonna be. So in a way to try and help offset one person's opinion and another person's and then a group's opinion, I created a survey of the three worst films a person's seen, and a collection of those I want to turn into a podcast.
Ooh.
Because a lot of people do podcasts about the best movies available.
Sure.
Right.
But nobody does a podcast about the worst, and I think that'd be funny.
I spend a lot of time on different websites of people who review bad movies. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy a bad movie, and I enjoy reading people's responses to them. I don't think that's a market that's... have to beat Jet to the punch. Okay, no, go ahead. Yeah, because I've got plenty of time to work something else into my schedule. Yeah,
so I think if you guys are okay with it, I would like to post a link to the survey on the forums at geekradiodaily.com.
That sounds like a great idea.
Works for me.
You know, the only thing you actually really need to do, Jet, is you need to watch every movie that's ever been made and give your personal opinion on the worst.
That'd be awesome.
Wow. Well,
so, you know, that'll keep you kind of busy.
A long time.
Call me over when you do London After Midnight.
Okay.
Thanks.
And the last thing I have is a piece of trivia that I learned a couple of days ago.
Okay.
Did you know that the Adam West Batman TV show is not on DVD?
Yes.
There was a... article that was put out recently that was things that should be on DVD that right. aren't, and I didn't realize that one was on there.
You know why?
No, I don't.
Fox.
Oh.
Fox has the TV rights. Warner Brothers, of course, you know, now has the Batman rights, and so it's another one of those nice legal tangulations, I think is the appropriate word.
Whoever I was listening to whine about this for like a third, was saying that you know, he's getting up there in age, and not going to have him around. We might
he
not
needs
have
to
him
go
around
do the commentary tracks right now.
Exactly. And that's what they were saying, that he needs to get on that.
He could go ahead and do it, and then when they get all the issues resolved, then it'll be there.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
He could do that.
I hope someone's being forward thinking. So yes, do it, Adam.
That's all me.
Take it, Adam. Take it back. I watched Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. Because somebody had to, and because, as I just said a moment ago, I enjoy a good bad movie. Wow, that's not a good movie. That's not a good movie at all.
Was that a sci-fi original? Or
it is. It's got the one moment. It's got the one moment, and I hate to spoil it for anybody, but let's just say a guy looks out of his plane window and goes, "What's that?" And the greatest thing in the entire world happens right after that. You'll go back and you rewind it and watch it like five times. I swear to God, it's the greatest thing in the world. And that's like in the first 20 minutes. So when you do your best part in the first 20 minutes of a 72, 73 minute movie, you know it's not good. And the creature effects, not that well done. Wow, good figure. Blur. I've been playing a bunch of Blur. No, really. No, wait for it. This
you
time,
have?
I've actually played some of the single player versions of Blur. Ooh.
I thought your disc didn't come with a single player version.
Apparently it does. And apparently if you go through and you fight and you have to build up points so you can, you know, race against the main boss of that level. Well, if you race against the main boss and can beat them, you unlock their car for the multiplayer as well. So by playing the offline mode, I actually have, you know, something that I'm going for because I'm getting cars that I can now use in the Shut up. It's fun.
No, there's something for everyone. I think that's kind of cool because some people are just really going to want to play more for themselves, or you can kind of improve your racing skills so that when you actually go out against real people in the real world, you can get better at it. Plus, because if you run a certain course, aren't the thingies that you pick up along the way in the same spot all the time?
No, there are things to pick up in the same spot, but each race, what those items are, change.
Okay, so the location is the same, but the thingies are different. Item. Okay.
But they're the same for like one time, if it's, let's say it's Nitro, Shield, and Shunt, it's right there this time on the race. Well, the next time, those could be three different ones, but whatever those three are, they're going to be that same thing throughout the whole race. So when you start the race, the first time you go through, if you remember where everything is, then...
So whatever you see on the first lap is exactly the same as what you'll see on the subsequent laps.
Yes.
Interesting.
There you go.
So it's not like you could memorize exactly where the boost, the power boosts or whatever, that Nitro is the one that makes you go fast, right?
Yes.
It's not like you could run it on the offline version and then just memorize it. You couldn't do that.
No. That's not going to help you at all. Battlefield Bad Company 2, finally picked it up. I've played with my dad once, my brother once, with both of them not at all, because they really haven't been on since I've picked it up.
And they really wanted you to get the game so that you could play with them.
So yeah, that's good. So, I actually tried it the other night, but there's new map packs and that you get for free, actually. You get like the first three or four map pack releases free if you buy the game before, is it August of this year? Something. I forget what it is, but there's a code inside to get free stuff. So I went to play with my dad, but couldn't because didn't have the maps, and by the time I downloaded it, well, he was done playing. I finally have paid for Pac-Man Championship Edition. Have you played Pac-Man Championship Edition?
No.
Okay. This is like a 10-minute or 5-minute version of Pac-Man that every time you eat all of the stuff on half of a board, a little fruit pops up on the other side that when you eat it, then morphs the board. The board then changes its shape, its size, and has new stuff on that side. So the board is constantly changing depending upon how you go through it. This has been awesome because it's helped me pick up my Pac-Man skills again. So when I was at roller derby practice just last night, I was able to get to 120,000 on Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah, there's a Miss Pac-Man arcade game there.
I flipping love Pac-Man. Love me some Pac-Man. That's good stuff. Let's see. Wipeout is back, which has been funny.
How did I miss Big Balls?
I don't know. They said somebody needs to tell me now, because in the last episode they showed that they have a Wipeout game. There's a Wipeout Nintendo game. This can't possibly be a great game. I get that, but if as long as it's at least good, I want it. So has anyone played the Wipeout game? That's just what I really want
to
know.
Yeah, you get to actually be the contestant and go through the course, or you can play multiplayer.
It's a side-scrolling looking thing.
Like if you hit the target, then you can cause disruptions. You can make them wipe out and stuff like that. I don't know. It looks like it would be fun, but also really not good. Like the first attempt at a game.
What system is it on?
Nintendo.
It's on Nintendo.
The Wii?
Yes, that's what they called it. Yes. I do not say that.
You don't call it that?
No,
okay.
I do not.
Whee! The Revolution?
The Revolution, yes. It's on the Revolution.
It does look like fun. But is it out yet? We don't really know. Or if it is out, I just want to know if anybody's played it and if it's worth buying.
Yeah, it's damn good, because that's really the big question, because we'd like to stretch our entertainment dollar.
From Alderaan to Krypton, from Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor, from their lips to your basement, to your underground lair, it's GRD News.
So apparently we're going to be on the schedule for Dragon Con. We're going to be a show on the podcasting track at Dragon Con.
So hopefully soon we'll have details as far as when and where.
Days, times, if we are able to take any pictures of celebrities and put them in compromising positions and make them have to come do a show with us. Any of those things that we learn, we'll be sure to let you know.
Yeah, so be on the lookout.
Because it's coming. Coming soon.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Because that's really all we have to say. Let's see. Oh, this is cool. This piece of mail actually came in to the Geek Label email account.
Wow.
But passed along to us. Dearest Flynn, Flinstress, and or the, Judging by the store display, the Nook is the best ebook reader because it is the only one that works, although to be fair, Apple doesn't have the sense to put Apple stores near free parking, so I didn't look at theirs. The Nook works better at Barnes & Noble more than at Best Buy. Since I could not get anything on the Sony display, I guess it just doesn't work. When I went to Target and the Kindle must only light up and not do anything and has a sticker, it says display only, so either the Nook is only the only working ebook reader or Barnes & Noble has the only promotional staff who aren't clueless.
That's correct.
I was sad that I was unable to see if the other devices with free limited internet worked as well as the Nook. I am much more likely to buy an ebook reader after seeing the Nook working at Barnes & Noble. Unlikely to buy ebooks, but there are good books in public domain that I really like to consume audio more than text. Barnes & Noble and a few places I met a non-podcast fans who have ever heard of ebook readers in the first place. Hugs and kisses. That's from Corey. So there you go. Corey's weighing in. So you prefer the...
The Nook is the best.
Okay. There you go. Just hands down.
Absolutely.
There's nothing else to say. Greetings all at Geek Radio Daily. Greetings all at Geek Radio Daily host is what it actually says, but that threw me. I am able to keep caught up on Geek Radio using Wi-Fi at a beach house.
Excellent.
WTF. Why do I have a personal laptop on vacation? That's just wrong. I should be out in the sun enjoying with little man with SPF 30 plus on. Fracking hot here in Duck, North Carolina. Truth is, I enjoy time out in the sun. I'm writing this when everyone else is asleep. So I heard about the Murdered Evan Dot Hill contest and that the only one person has it right. If that's true, I think I know who that one person is. It's me. And I already have a signed copy of Murdered Evan Dot Hill, so I'd rather another fan of Geek Radio Daily and Murdered Evan Dot Hill have a chance. I asked Mr. Holyfield directly about his name, and he gave me a clue. So if the above statement is true, then I think it is only fair that I give out a clue, too. Spoiler alert, Darth Vader is Luke's father. Spoiler alert, Wash dies. Spoiler alert. Aww. It's the first name, not spelled the same, of an NFL Hall of Fame running back. The voicemail last time made me think I should stick with non-voicemail mail. Until I can get wacky wafers again, please make mine GRD. Take care. That's from Rob.
So we are hereby extending the contest, and if you listen to the clue, you can Google, that might help you. If nobody gets it, we did have quite a few entries, but just no one actually got it because it's
except
kind of
for
a
Rob.
Except for Rob, and he asked PG. I think that might be cheating. I mean, he did just get a clue, but he's passing the clue on along to everybody else. So if still nobody's able to get it, then I'll give another clue. I've got another good clue kind of in my pocket. So
again,
we'll see.
That clue is, it's the first name, not spelled the same, of an NFL Hall of Fame running back. Thank you. There you go.
That was the radio announcer, Billy Flynn.
Thanks. I imagine for the future of video games, 10 to 20 years' time, they'll use an optical scanner, perhaps a small treadmill or pedal-type device for movement, and probably a skeleton frame glove apparatus that detects motion of the joints on your digits for trigger pulls and better interactivity, possibly with a skin between the mechanical bits of the glove to give a tangle for tactile reception, or Capra commands.
Isn't that the power glove? They did that already.
Uh-huh.
If you think Bruno had man meat up in your face, watch the 1979 Caligula with Malcolm McDowell, the unrated cut. That's from Ryan. Ryan, I've seen the unrated cut of Caligula. I know exactly what you're talking about. And wow, what a way to give warm wishes to a newly married couple. 7-page material safety data sheet from SciTech. Hi, all. We've just seen the final episode of Doctor Who, and it was brilliant. The final two-part was excellent. We can't wait until Christmas special and next season. I won't say any more about them, as you won't have seen them yet, but you won't be disappointed. We now intend to watch them all again from the first Christopher Eccleston episodes. I am also into Fringe, which will have to be take over for a while from our previous favorite show, the one and only Lost. Do we have it in the drop anymore? Wait.
On an island.
We do. It's still there. It's never going away. That's lovely. That's lovely. I had guessed the twist at the end of the latest season as when they were having the shootout, Olivia called for Dr. Bishop, and she usually calls him Walter, which made me think, hey, wait a minute, that's not Olivia from our universe. Finally, in your recent Sweekly, you were discussing favorite fictitious curse words. I was surprised that you did not mention Smeg from Red Dwarf. Really? I didn't mention Smeg?
You didn't. I don't think that you understand.
I say Smeg all the time.
You do actually use it quite a lot. But I think it was because you thought it was more like an on-the-spot he was going to ask the question, so
true.
You didn't think about it a lot ahead of time, or else you totally would have got that one.
As far as I know, it is not a real swear word, although it is a brand of kitchen appliance. Really? Love the show and keep up the good work. That's from Steven. Why, thank you, Steven. That's Smegging good to know. Okay, interesting.
Your laptop disagrees.
No, that was the laptop going, you're right. So yeah, good times all there. And actually, we have seen some Doctor Who, and we'll be talking about that in just a little bit. But first, people have called in as well. Darren wants to say hi.
Hey, Geek Radio. It is Darren here. I had an opportunity to go to a midnight showing of Midnight Shyamalan Ding Dong's Avatar The Last Airbender. Can't call it Avatar.
No, you can't.
I have just experienced my first disappointment of the summer. Yeah, there's always the one movie,
you didn't go to Nightingale,
you know, that you go to, and it's like, oh, yeah, it's going to be great, it's going to be great, or at least you really hope it will be. And, yeah, and I'm willing to give a lot of leeway. I am not a very harsh critic of any movies. I'm not saying this of M. Night Shyamalan, but I am a very easygoing movie critic.
Out of context.
You know, I'll rate a movie high, even if it has flaws, but this, I gotta say, just a disappointment. Just, of course, based off the show, this was book one, or I get you know, obviously season one. Just, I'm not going to spoil anything, just in case, but just rushed, just felt like it was, you know, to use the surgical metaphor, it felt like he didn't use a scalpel to edit. It felt like he used a broadsword.
Wow. Hmm. Wow. So he's saying just a complete technical failure all the way across the board. Mm-hmm. So I guess you're lucky you're not going to go see that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, sorry, dude. Sorry. Maybe go watch the A-Team again. That's what you should have done.
Bum-ba-dum-bum.
Bum-bum-bum.
Can I tell you, I am so sick of the hype that still, like Blu-rays suck. Mm-hmm. Except for the fact that, like, it's in high def. I get that. That's cool. But you know what? All the extra features, everything about Blu-ray, it wants to make me put a gun to my head. You know, like, every Blu-ray I've ever put into my PS3 is different. They all operate differently. They all fucking have different buttons to do different things. Look, just play the effing movie. Like, how hard is it? And that, like, if... Oh, look, this is how stupid it is. This Universal movie, and I only know it's Universal because I paused it and I went outside and I cooked some food in the microwave. I came
outside?
Back in and had a... instead of going for my pause menu, it gone to some sort of stupid Universal logo flashy screensaver BS, and it would not unpause. Like, play did nothing, pause did nothing. I had to stop it, which brings you back to the PS menu, so I had to reload, and of course it didn't pick up where it left off, whereas almost every single one of my DVDs, if I stop it and I press play from the PlayStation, it just goes right back to exactly where I was.
Yeah, like, basically.
Blu-ray is about the dumbest thing ever. Oh, man, and every look at this. What's new, powered by Blu-ray, Blu-ray Live? I love this. This stupid effing Netflix disc is streaming me previews from the internet. Like, I don't want to watch any effing... Oh, why is technology so, like, designed to piss off Java?
That's a fair question.
Poor Java.
Don't have a Blu-ray player myself. The kids do. They have a PS3. So we've watched one movie on it. I believe, yeah. We watched Speed Racer. We rented Speed Racer and watched it. I don't know of the troubles you have. I do know that it is a lot more clumsy to work Netflix with a PlayStation 3 than an Xbox.
I think you missed it, but we were at the store and I was shopping between two different laptops. The guy tried to give me that one had a Blu-ray player as like a selling point, and I was like, I don't care about Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I think we're skipping it, you know, in the technology trend of whatever, I think we're just skipping it to whatever comes next, digital downloads.
It's digital downloads.
You know, we're skipping Blu-ray.
It's absolutely digital downloads. I mean, it's going to have to be a crazy, silly price with a guarantee that nothing new is taking
but
its place anytime ever.
But you did call Blu-ray like a long time ago when DVDs were like first coming out. You were like, no, the next thing is Blu-ray.
I did. I didn't want it to be because it was Sony.
Right.
I backed HD DVD.
And the guy did try to show me a Sony, and I was like, don't even start.
No.
Keep going.
No, get away. So, sorry, dude. Sorry. But yeah, every DVD player should go back. Sometimes we have taken the DVD out of the Xbox, or out of the Xbox DVD add-on. We've taken a DVD out, threw something else in, and when we put that disc back in, it started
still
up where it left off.
Still started right back up where it left off.
That's just, it's silly, okay? Jonathan checks in.
Hey, guys, it's Jonathan. Just wanted to let you know, the projection manager at my theater I work at, he's a geek like us, and I got him hooked to Dresden Files, and he was always a geek about Green Hornet, Green Arrow, Green Lantern.
All the greens.
Everything green, pretty much. Oh. He got
Broccoli
the
Man.
Green Hornet
Green
preview trailers, and he was going to watch them one night, and he asked me if I wanted to join because he knew I loved Green Hornet, and I said, sure, and so we watched it, and we were like, It was a WTF moment. That's how bad it sucks. It sucks so bad while you get the drift. And I just wanted to let you know, and he said that he should be getting the Green Lantern preview within trailers within the next couple weeks, about a month, month and a half.
Maybe a
and
teaser.
When he does, me and him are going to sit down and watch them and see how they are. And when I see them, I'll let you know. Talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, did you see, have you seen the Green Hornet trailer?
Mm-mm.
It doesn't look good. Doesn't it looks goofy, it looks campy, it's directed by Michel Gondry and does not look like it is at all, and I'm hoping it's just a very badly cut trailer. I'm hoping it is. You look like you had something you wanted to say there.
Nope.
Are you sure? Because I don't need to.
No, I was going to ask you a question and then I figured I can just ask you later.
Okay, fine. So, well, let's let someone else ask us a question then.
Hello geeks, this is Anna.
Hey Anna.
I would just like to point out that football, aka soccer, actually requires a ball hitting a foot quite a bit more than American football, which is really more like handball with lots of really large, sweaty, grunting men. Okay. Bye.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought there was a question in there. I guess no, that was just an observation. Okay. Correct. But you know what? You can't start a game of American football without a foot touching a ball. You can't.
The
game can't start.
Kickoff is.
It's a kickoff. That's what it's there for. Because all of our sports were related around a ball and the closest thing you did with them. Baseball, because it had bases. Basketball, because there was literally a basket up there. We kick off on this one? Fine, it's football. There you go. Not our fault. Someone else already had it. And if I'm incorrect, please, someone point this out to me. But I believe we're talking about the difference between football and football. So
F-U-T-B-O-L.
I think
yes.
There's enough room there for everybody. And there are people I've heard like big sweaty men, which is why wrestling is so popular too.
Hey guys, this is Indigo. I just finished watching Battlestar Galactica.
Good for you.
Finishes my run. I had never really watched it, and I finally got into it about a month ago. I started watching season one, and I've just kind of blown through it. I loved it, and I've been kind of waiting to hear one of the old Sweekly shows, the Bye Bye BSG show. I'm going to go back and listen to that now because I wanted to listen to it for a while, but
yeah, it would have been heavy spoilers.
I couldn't until I saw the show without just completely ruining it, I'm sure. I thought I'd share that, and I really liked the finale of the show. I know some people didn't.
Good for you.
The only thing I didn't like was Starbuck's disappearance, but other than that, it was a really fitting ending to what had been a very spiritual show. Anyway, I'm probably going to move on to Fringe now. I need to catch up on that.
Good man.
Anyway, and I've said anyway twice. Whatever. I will talk to you guys later. Bye.
I wholeheartedly agree. Katie Sackhoff should have been on screen more. Totally agree. Totally agree. That's what he said, right? Because she
disappeared. You weren't talking about the plot, or you weren't talking about, you know, the story.
There was still more for her to wrap up with her character, which is why she should have still been on,
mm-hmm.
on screen. So, congratulations, you finished it. Yes, what a good show. Is it the greatest ending to a show ever? No, but does it serve what happened to it before? I think so.
Not the worst either.
I could be wrong. People can disagree. That's fine. But and he quite clearly summed it up there. Say what you want, and I'm sorry you don't want God in your sci-fi. Battlestar Galactica was always a spiritual show. Always. No matter what you saw the spirituality as, fine, but it was a spiritual show. People had beliefs of all kinds and stuff. And now it's time to hear an impression from Jabba.
I don't know who Martin Darkley is, because I'm always reluctant to try new things. But I love saying his name. Like, sometimes I'll just walk around, I'll be like, Martin Darkley. Martin. Like, I like to believe that's his real name. That just makes you sound pretty badass.
Well,
you'll need to start turning off our microphones for Jabba's
I don't see
messages.
Why I should possibly do that now.
His first name is Martin.
Yes. And his last name
Martin
is absolutely
Darkley.
He is he's an adverb. I mean he's one of the few adverb guys out there, and Martin is one of them. And yeah, no, I think you should do that. In fact, I want someone to set up a meeting so we can have Jabba go, "Oh my God, you're Martin Darkley." Because I think that would be special. If you'd like to drop a note, please do. Because as you hear, you can pretty much say or do just about anything. It's podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flinstress, all at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can drop a voicemail to
206-3-FUN-HECK.
What is that now?
206-3-FUN-HECK.
One more time.
206-3-FUN-HECK.
And I didn't push a button there because where is he off on special assignment? Like, what's the deal? Did he forget what day it is? Like, how does that work?
What day is it?
Oh, my God.
Could you please tell me?
No, I've seen you two in the same room. It's not like you do some kind of lycanthrope thing and turn into him.
Wow. Very nice vocab word. Going to go with shapeshifter, but no.
Okay, well, you know, some of us like our Latin roots. Thank you.
I'm sitting in his seat, but I am not him, I swear.
Okay, well, no, I'm going to give you that one.
He went on an expedition to find his Yeti brethren.
All right. So now that we've taken that completely into the dirt, you sit right there. We'll be right back. Thanks for dropping by for episode 88, Double Infinity of GRD's Weekly.
When Elizabeth Carter was orphaned, she felt like she lost everything. No friends to speak of, no family. Nothing in this world to keep her, so she decided to look for her fate off-world. Taking her future in her hands, Libby chose a vocation that would leave the world behind, removing her from every person on Earth. She joined SNV LLC as a miner in the asteroid belt. She was promised workable land to homestead just for showing up. Now with her fate decided, light years away from Earth, Libby finds out that she was shanghaied. Left on a tiny rock at the edge of space, she finds herself bound into indentured servitude. As Libby tries to dig herself out, she realizes greatness in the people around her, and finds high adventure in the inky blackness of space. Cave-in rescues, planetary collisions, and other dangerous mishaps keep Libby and her new family fighting to stay alive. Written by Brand Gamblin, creator of the Parsec-nominated show Calls for Cthulhu, and read by S.V. Alley, creator of the C4C podcast, this is a story of determination, hard work, pain, and redemption. This is the story of Tumblr. www.tumblrnovel.net.
Hi kids, Space Ghost here, and you are barking a happy tune with Geek Radio Daily.
Oh, what the heck is that?
I don't know, but they sure smell like bad cup of soup.
I've seen him. He's like fire and ice and rage. He's like the night and the storm and the heart of the sun. He's ancient and forever. He burns at the center of time, and he can see the turn of the universe. And he's wonderful.
For the first 19 years of my life, nothing happened. Nothing at all. And then I met a man called the Doctor. A man who could change his faith. And he took me away from home in his magical machine. He showed me the whole of time and space.
But where would you keep all of time and space? Doesn't make any sense.
In the TARDIS.
Oh.
In my back pocket.
I'll be looking for that later. Hi, welcome to GRD's Weekly, episode 88. The Doctor was in, and he's gone now. Except, of course, for those of you in America who don't have friends at the BBC that send you screener copies of everything, you still have a couple of episodes left to go. But someone suggested it, and by God, it's a fine idea. By all means, Doctor Who.
No, I guess we should have talked about this beforehand, but are we going to talk about everything that we've seen and just say spoiler alert?
See, I thought we were just going to kind of go over like this episode, or not this episode, but like this season, and like where does that fit in overall for Doctor Who? Because we have
to
go back. Obviously, you'd have to go back in time a lot, no pun intended, for Doctor Who.
Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly.
But you'd have to go back a little bit for nothing else, Christopher Eccleston in the reboot. Now, everyone we've forgotten, I've said time and time again, everyone has forgotten the amazing job Christopher Eccleston did bringing this character back. Because, you know, there are tons of folks that just didn't know.
He got to do a lot of drama, a lot of, you know, a little bit of funny here and there, but he really got to delve into the who is the Doctor.
Yes, which was fantastic. And then David Tennant steps in, and all of a sudden, everybody finds out about Doctor Who. I'm like, you bastards, where were you?
Well, at least they're here now.
That's true. So there's that. Tenet's last season, the short truncated season, making us all so sort of scared and fearful. What's going on? Why is there not more Doctor Who? It's really expensive. Well, that's what they always say before they cancel it. And then we got our new season with our new Doctor. And how do we feel about all of this overall? How do you feel so far, Miss? I'm 8 episodes in and don't mind spoilers.
I like it so far. It's a little... To go from the season that I started with, which was the first season of the Reloaded series, started in 2005, to go from there, skip 3 or 4 seasons almost.
Yeah.
And start watching the first 8 of the new season is a little jarring.
A little bit. I can imagine.
I understand. Spoilers are okay, right?
Go for it. Absolutely.
Okay, I understand.
Oh, yeah. We're talking all of everything here. Spoilers.
Okay. So I understand in the beginning when he's glowing and the stuff's floating off of him, he's just finished doing a transformation, right?
Regeneration. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
It's just as easy to get these things right as it is to get them wrong.
So I understand that. And for someone that's never seen that before and has just started watching, they're like, oh, what's this? And it could be confusing for someone.
But could Moffat wanted to go with this season was more of a fairy tale like aspect to it. As someone, if you could imagine someone that's never seen the show before, you see this guy who apparently turns into another version of this guy, and there's all this like whispery, glowy stuff. I don't, you know, for the most part, I think people get behind that easily because I think that also helped play into the fairy tale aspect of it this season. I can see that.
When Eccleston regenerated into David Tennant, I was traumatized. I had no idea what that was all about. I didn't know anything. I hadn't watched any of the previous Doctor Who. I didn't even know that it was possible.
I didn't even tell her about this. Well, because I've never had a one season Doctor. And when I heard the bells, I was like, oh my God. And she looks and was like, what? And like, I'm so sorry.
The bells?
You just have to watch. Yeah, the
sound that accompanies
tolls that go along right before. I was like, I'm sorry. It's like, well, you're just going to have to watch. I'm sorry.
And I cried and cried and cried. And I was just, I was traumatized. And it took me forever to like David Tennant. And then eventually I did.
I'm trying to remember because I did see that.
Oh, go back and watch it. It's they echo in the background.
And I believe you. But good. I'm trying to think. Good. I'm trying to remember.
It's easier that way. Just believe it.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how I felt. And I guess I don't.
Did you have any working knowledge of the Doctor and who he was and how stuff worked?
The fact that different.
I knew he could change.
Okay, see. She knew the show had been on since 1964. But, you don't. When I was a kid, I tell you, I've said this before. I've said this before on the show, too.
Yes.
You know, I started watching in the 5th grade, and it was Tom Baker. The 4th Doctor was the Doctor. Mm-hmm. And one day they have an adventure, and he is hurt, and he falls to the ground, and then something weird happens to his face, and all of a sudden he's Peter Davison. And I'm like, no. And I watched the next episode, like, okay, well, this isn't going to happen. But no, he's still this new guy. And I'm like, I didn't watch again for a couple months because it traumatized me a lot. And I could see that because you get into this person and, they go all over the place and they can do all these amazing things. But what, he still died too? How the hell is that fair? How does that work?
I figure it's kind of like a phoenix.
Yes. Yes. It's exactly. That's it exactly.
How I described it to my boyfriend.
And every now and then you see kind of glimpses of him sort of remembering stuff that's happened in the past. Or you get the feeling that this is a person who has experienced thousands of years.
How many times this season alone have we had
wibbly wobbly, timey wimey stuff?
We've had references to that like mad.
Yeah, and we've been time traveling around a lot. You, I don't know if you're just a writer for the show or what, but Billy Flynn has called like 80 to 90% of the stuff that happened in this season. I just have to give you a shout out.
The newest one?
Yes. Hmm. He'll be like, oh, so-and-so is in the... in this, and then, or you would say, he wasn't wearing his jacket, so he had to go back in time. I mean, we talked about this before
you've
on the show. All
you've
of these
seen
predictions
the
have
angels.
Been right.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't like them.
No, me neither.
No, and you shouldn't. You shouldn't.
Everything about the dark that I hate is explicitly depicted in that episode.
Moving around, sounds and all, and shadows not quite, okay.
Yeah.
I can see that. Oh, I can see that. Doctor Who has always been, it's a kid's show, and as a kid's show, it's always been scary for kids. or you know, for that little irrational fear, because we tap into that part of our kid self that's terrified about
something. The monster
under
the bed kind of scary.
It happens all the time. Kids shows are about scaring kids because you have to scare kids when they're young. Otherwise, they'll die when they're older because they won't know to fear anything.
they'll go sticking their hand in a fire because they don't know.
So, you know, there's been complaints about, you know, some of the... But there's always been complaints about Doctor Who and it being too traumatizing for kids. But in that episode, you'll notice... You may have noticed, may not. When Amy's sitting there and she can't look, eyes closed, the doctor talks to her.
In the woods.
In the woods. Doctor talks to her, steps away with River. Then the doctor pops back up to her. I was like, no, that's not him. That's not the him that just left her a few moments ago. I'm like, no, that's him like after a bunch of stuff has happened because he's not wearing the same outfit. There's a missing jacket. One of them has a jacket, one of them doesn't. And he just stepped away. He had not been gone long enough to put on a jacket. It had not happened. And I was like, no, that's a doctor from later in the season. And, well, spoiler, but I was right.
Really? Oh.
Yes! Because that's what I've loved about this season. And that's why I'm so going on such a fanboy rave about this.
The blonde, too, from the same episode.
Okay, what about her?
Does she... return? Because she talks about something in the future.
Well, we actually, you meet her in the full David Tennant season prior
River
to
Song?
This. River Song. Okay. Silence in the Library is when you first meet her. And that's the first time the doctor ever meets her was in that one. So she knew all about him and everything, and he knew nothing about her. So it's interesting this time to see that slightly different dynamic.
I want her heels, though.
They are. You could rock a pole with
those. The red heels.
You could rock a pole with those.
She's a badass. She's definitely a badass.
You will see her again this season, and we should be seeing her again next season too. It's been sort of hinted and promised to us. So yeah, cool. But still knowing just nothing about what you're gonna know.
And I like Amy Pond a lot as a companion.
I do too.
She seems pretty realistic. I mean, of course she sort of has a crush on the doctor. I mean, who wouldn't sort of have a crush on the doctor? But it's not like clingy sort of girlfriend stuff that you got a little bit with Rose. I'll say it, right?
Yeah. Yes.
You know, and I love that her and Rory are going around with the doctor together. I mean, it, you know, if the doctor came and said, hey, you know, Flynnster, she want to go? I was like, sure, but Billy Flynn has to come too. You know, and I just love the dynamic of the three of them running around in space and time. Love it.
That's how it started. Go back with Hartnell. He didn't just take you know one sexy chick off by himself. He took a few people. So you know it's cool. And I like that we don't have to have that plot line anymore because I was getting really tired of that plot line. Which
him being
going
a
back
love
to
interest.
Yes, you'll get to see more of that
when I go back and start again.
Yeah.
Except I did love Martha Jones as a companion.
Yeah, I just mean just from Rose in general.
Okay. Yeah.
Just Rose Tyler. Rose was a great way to bring the show back because, wow, I'm going to make a night and day comparison here. You ready?
Wow.
That's why that worked. They started the relaunch of Doctor Who through this girl's eyes and what she's doing, and she bumps into this completely weird, nothing's ever like it before moment. And you didn't have that with
Night
and Day.
We went through the season with Rose, right.
Right. And you didn't have that with Night and Day because we started the movie with Tom Cruise waiting for him to start with somebody. You never
right.
got that moment.
I get you.
So yeah, it was a little bit of that. But Rose gets a lot more clingy and just outright. Oh, it's God. I don't like. I like how they started with Rose. I don't like how Rose finished, and I blame a lot of that on Russell T. Davies. He's a bad man.
Yeah, I stopped the first season when he changed, and I haven't continued, but I skipped.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Season. That's weird. So you regenerated, but then you regenerated. That's awesome.
I did.
That's pretty, oh, okay. That'll be interesting when you go back. No, it's fun because this renews my faith that this show is going to be around for a while. Because when I heard there was a new Doctor Who. Okay. Oh my God. It's a continuation. Oh, really? I was fascinated being a lifelong fan of the show. Mm-hmm. And you know, you see it, and you're like, okay, you're hoping, and then we switch to Tennant, and then. I love you, Tennant, but during Tennant's run, it just, I don't know, I don't like to trash it for doing well and people loving it, but something about it, it became more, it wasn't quite...
Shiny.
It was a little too shiny. Maybe that's what that was. It was a little too shiny. And with the automatic hate for Matt Smith before he ever stepped into costume as the Doctor...
Oh.
Was just enough to crack me up because, oh, I don't like the guy. And I'm thinking, nobody ever likes the next Doctor. Because you have your doctor, Mm-hmm. And even if it's not your doctor, you've been watching him enough to where you've seen your doctor in there. So nobody ever wants a new doctor, but you just have to deal with it.
Plus, Matt Smith's not exactly cute. He's sort of a little bit good looking, depending on how you do. You think he's like really good looking? I think it depends on the angle or the profile. Like sometimes I think he's cute, and sometimes I'm like, no, he's got kind of this goofy, like big head. I don't know.
Fat head.
Yeah, but my favorite episode is this one that Americans would have seen, the one where he stays in the flat. He's like, what's that one called?
The Lodger.
The Lodger. I liked that one a lot because it was, you know, you get the impression that the only thing he really knows about humanity is what he knows from his companions. You know, and certain, he's the champion for humanity, but he's not human in any way, shape, or form. And to have him have a kind of a day in the life of an average Joe and his take on that. It was just, that was one of my favorite episodes of the season.
That was pretty good time. That was pretty good time. I think that's either a few days away. It either just showed on BBC America or it's just about to show, because I am completely off on the timeline of that.
Which, speaking of, can we go on a little rant about BBC America? I mean, really, they show it all late. I mean, what's the point of that? Really?
Yeah. Cause, you're not watching it. You're not watching them on BBC America, are you?
No.
Okay, that's good. Because
they cut parts out for commercials.
Parts out for commercials. I mean, seriously.
I almost want to write them a letter. Like, for real, I can't remember the last time I've written an irate letter, but I kind of want to do that.
Could get the BBC? Could I pay you just a little extra and get BBC directly beamed to my satellite?
Oh, that would be nice. We should call DirecTV and see if they will do that. Give us the actual BBC.
Yeah, I don't, because I've got BBC Worldview, so I'll actually get like decent news. I don't need to watch American stuff anymore.
The Lodger is the third from the last.
Third from the last. Okay. Yeah, all of this. Yeah, so America's getting very close to the end. And for those of you that have sat through Russell T. Davies' season finales, yes, the season finale is tremendous. It's tremendous. It's the best one that's probably ever happened. It's probably one of the best season finales of any show ever. It's in the top five easily, because it's still a crazy huge. The stakes have been raised. Russell T. Davies, which you'll see, raises the stakes at his end of season every time, mm-hmm. and they just get a little more ridiculous and more ridiculous. This time, the stakes are so out there, it's not even funny how just huge the stakes are. And of course, it's all wrapped up in a nice, neat way that makes sense, but not everything gets wrapped up, which is fun. Something, the Doctor Who of this season, of Matt Smith's run on Doctor Who with Moffat, people have complained that Moffat is like, just, he's sort of treaded water a little bit because you did not see the guy who's the head writer now. Oh. For the 11th Hour, he borrowed quite a bit of stuff from the episode he wrote in season two, The Girl in the Fireplace.
Okay.
There's quite a bit of, I'm interacting with someone who a lot of time passes for them, but not a lot for me. From that, so he got that from there. We brought the Daleks back, and the Daleks got way, way, way overused. Go back,
Power Ranger Daleks.
People, the power of Christopher Eccleston in that first Dalek episode, mm-hmm. and even for people that didn't know what a Dalek was, you could just sense this the power
that
he brought.
That it was
to
huge.
It.
Yeah. Yes,
and it didn't take but like two seasons later, and then the Daleks were like, oh, okay, it's the Daleks again.
They're just another enemy, you know. No, they're not.
Which is kind of, the Daleks need to be saved for big times. I can't really complain because the second Doctor Who episode, you know, adventure ever was with Daleks. So that brought them all back. Well, God, what was I trying to think of? I don't know, but there's been, people have complained that Moffat stuff hasn't been different enough because everyone wanted every episode to be The Weeping Angels, Silence of the Library, Girl in the Fireplace. They wanted every episode to be that magnanimous, and I would dare say that I don't see where they really aren't, because there have been some tremendous episodes. The Beast Below, people like to write that one off a little. I love that.
I like
that.
And I can't remember the names of episodes. That's what I really need to pull up, is like the list. What's the Vincent Van Gogh episode?
That's Vincent and the Doctor.
Vincent and the Doctor was so heartbreaking and beautiful. I mean,
Wikipedia.
What? That's cheating. Vincent and the Doctor.
I have Wikipedia up. Why don't I just,
Vincent and the Doctor is the greatest Doctor Who episode I've ever seen.
I haven't gotten there yet. No, I'm almost there.
I know you're getting there. I know you're getting there. And this is all, they've built it in steps. Matt Smith's Doctor right away, you can see this easily from Eccleston, is he's a little more aloof. Is that the word I would like, that I'm trying to use? Matt Smith.
Well, yeah. Give Susie credit, and let's talk about her theory for a second.
Oh, please.
That she hypothesized early in the season that he's kind of childlike, and that he kind of has temper tantrums, and he is a little bit impulsive, and is sort of maybe something went a little bit wrong with the regeneration.
The 11th Doctor. He is the youngest.
Well, yeah, but he's acting. He's had moments that you could strike up completely to a child's temper tantrum throughout almost every episode this season. And the Beast Below, when he goes off on Amy, he's like, well, no, the next thing I'm doing is I'm taking you back immediately. Harumph, harumph.
Yes.
I mean, that kind of stuff. And I'm wondering if that's still going to play because, like I said, again, don't want to have to nearly do spoilers, but I've told you they're going to happen. Not everything is wrapped up this season. Stephen Moffat apparently has written a multi-year storyline arc already because he's got seeds for stuff that were laid out in the season that are not going to get touched on until later. So maybe there's still something about that we will get to see later.
I like that. I really like when any show takes the time to do that. Mm-hmm. And what better forum than Doctor Who, which could potentially be on for, 10, 15 years. It's just, we just need support, from the powers that be to not get it canceled. But even if it did, they could continue the story in comic book form or in some other type of, web-based adventures. Mm-hmm.
They certainly could. It could easily happen. I've also loved all the references to other old Doctor Who episodes throughout this. Some people are like, oh, they keep showing William Hartnell. Fine. But there have been literal direct references to old episodes. For instance, The Beast Below that I like to talk about. Mm-hmm. Tom Baker followed this same pilgrimage through space about at a 250-year different period in time.
Okay.
But the Doctor, when he's talking about it, he remembers it. He's been there. A previous version of himself was on a different ship at a time going through this.
Mm.
And that just blows my mind. I love this. Because Davies didn't do enough with that. Just like, and I would like to complain about Davies' season finales real quick. He'd like to, everything is going to end. It's going to be the worst thing ever. And then at the start of the next season, slate clean, as if nothing happened. I like the fact that they're planning, what seems like that they're going to planning a multi-year story arc with this. Again, I have to say, he's easily, Matt Smith's one of my favorite doctors. Easily. I love everything he's done with it. Since you've had, the two? What do you think?
Two, yeah.
What do you think?
No, I like them both. They both have good and not so bad things. I mean, I don't really have an exact comparison.
Right.
I liked all the episodes that I've seen so far. Let's see.
I think it's like when you have children. I mean, you can't really say who your favorite child is.
Right.
Well, not when both of them are present.
Right, no.
What was your favorite episode of the H you've seen?
Let me see. I like them all for different reasons. The 11th Hour was good because it was like him reestablishing his, I'm the doctor, you need to run.
Which was a nice throwback to the first episode of the new season, a new series.
And The Beast Below was nice. It kind of made you think about people, humanity in general, just kind of assuming that they have to take control of something and be in like complete command. You can't just, hitch a ride and let it go and trust.
Yeah, because it's so inconceivable that something or someone would just help us.
Yeah, for no reason, no apparent reason other than to, save your children.
Right, what do you want then?
The Victory of the Daleks was actually kind of funny.
See, yes, I found it dumb Doctor Who fun. Big dumb fun is what Victory of the Daleks was for me.
I like his cookie.
The cookie was pretty.
You don't want to mess with me.
And see, again, there was another moment of that childishness that we were talking about is when he's like snaps and goes off on the Daleks because they won't recognize, they won't acknowledge nothing, And no, I'm the doctor, you were. And there's like.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, you're screwed now because we got you on tape.
You played into our. Oh, it's just. Yeah. It's fun. They've played with the conventions of what you've expected, and I think people have been too bogged down in, oh, we've seen Daleks again. But it was setting up something for next time. Mm-hmm. It's been fun.
For way down the road.
Way down the road. Wow.
I'm not quite sure why they decided to make them colors, but
why not?
I guess if they're
the different colored Daleks
ones, they don't. They,
they each have a different
muddy.
They each have a different function. They're broke down by if you will, class and society. Like red ones are going to be literally they're the red shirts of the Daleks. They're the ones that they are sent in first. They're just the regular drones and stuff. The Daleks being different colors do actually have a reason and a purpose that they just didn't really explain in that one, which I can say in that voice because I'm a snooty Doctor Who fan.
I did see an article somewhere on the web about what the different colors signified.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that answers my question.
See? There's all answers. They've answered it before, but you would have had to have seen 40 years of TV to know that.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm not sitting around that long.
Well, get the highlights.
Okay. The other ones were good. I liked the... I didn't write anything about the vampires. No, I did. The Vampires of Venice. I was like, space fish, haha.
Space fish. Blah.
I thought it was funny. Interesting that they needed the women. That's kind of... That's other movies and television that need human women.
Mars needs women.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Amy's choice was... kind of funny. Old people are creepy.
That was interesting. Amy's choice is interesting, which I think is setting up part of that multi-year story arc. I don't think we're done with the Vale Yard, which he wasn't. He didn't say he was the dream doctor, if you will, the dream lord. There's a rumor going around that is possibly an old Doctor Who villain we haven't seen for a while.
Oh.
And I like the idea of that, the concept of that, because it kind of plays into some of these other theories that I'm having about the show.
If he is an enemy, why was he in Matt's reflection?
See, and I can't answer that question for you yet. I could, but I would really spoil some things, and I know I said spoilers were fine, but I'm not trying to do that.
Spoilers are fine for me.
No, because we have to hear. Well, maybe I'll tell you after we're done, okay. In which we only have a couple minutes. So.
That's where I ended.
Lovely run. What do you think?
Yeah, enjoying it. So, like, cannot wait for more. I'm, you know, way crazy hooked.
It's firing on all cylinders. There's nothing really that I have any complaints about whatsoever. And I just want to know where it goes next because I want my next Doctor Who adventure because I'm still like this dumb kid in the fifth grade.
Yep.
Well.
I'm enjoying the ride. And
no.
I'll go back and start the second season.
Cool. But for now, you have to say yep.
Yep.
Because I couldn't think of a better way to end the show.
That's all I had.
So, okay, fine. So we ranted and raved about how wonderful the show was. Deal with it. It's wonderful.
Yep.
And rant-worthy. And yep. Thanks for dropping by for GRD's Weekly. We're licensed to the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Make sure you go by the Facebook page and like it. That's very helpful. Drop by the forums and have a good time with us there. You'll love that. Drop a note to podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flinster, salt at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, send your voicemails to...
206-3-FUN-HECK.
I'm sorry, what is that?
206-3-FUN-HECK.
One more time, because I like it.
206-3-FUN-HECK.
Good night!
Dead, Jim. Sure, some space ponies. I'm making gravy without the lumps.
I thought it would never end.
How long are you going to stay with me?
Forever.
So many times, and you never even knew he was there. He never stops. He never stays. He never asks to be thanked. But I've seen him. I know him. I love him.
The monsters and the doctor. It seems you cannot have one without the other.
His name is the Doctor.
Before I go, I just want to tell you were fantastic.